Early the next morning, at the beginning of their first full day of freedom, Ron and Dennis, along with their lawyers, Mark Barrett and Barry Scheck, drove to the local Holiday Inn, where an NBC camera crew was setting up. They appeared live on the Today Show, with Matt Lauer doing the interview. The story was gaining momentum, and most of the reporters were still in Ada looking for anyone remotely connected to the case or the people involved in it. The Gore escape was a wonderful subplot. The group, exonerees, families, lawyers, drove to Norman and stopped at the offices of the Oklahoma Indigent Defense System for another party. Ron said a few words and thanked those who had worked so hard to protect him and eventually free him. Afterward, they hurried to Oklahoma City to film a segment of Inside Edition and then one for a show called Burden of Proof. Lawyers Scheck and Barrett were trying to arrange a meeting with the governor and top legislators to lobby for legislation that would facilitate DNA testing and provide compensation for those wrongfully convicted. The group went to the state capitol to shake hands and twist arms and hold another press conference. The timing was perfect. They had the national media following them. The governor was working hard and too busy, so he sent forth a top aide, a creative type who seized upon the idea of having Ron and Dennis meet with the members of the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals. It was unclear what this meeting was expected to produce, but resentment was certainly a possibility. It was Friday afternoon, though, and the judges were likewise hard at work. Only one ventured out of her chambers to say hello, and she was harmless. She had not been on the court when it reviewed and affirmed the convictions of Fritz and Williamson. Barry Scheck left town and headed back to New York. Mark stayed in Norman, his home, and Sarah drove to Purcell. There was a lull in the frenzy, and everybody needed a break. Dennis and his mother stayed in Oklahoma City at Elizabeth's home. Riding back to Ada, with Annette behind the wheel, Ron sat in the front seat for a change. No handcuffs, no prison stripes, no armed deputy watching him. He soaked in the countryside, the farms and scattered oil rigs and gentle rolling hills of southeast Oklahoma. He couldn't wait to leave. It was almost like we had to reacquaint ourselves with him since he'd been out of our lives for so long, Renee said. The next day after he was released, we had such a good day with him. I told him to bear with us that we had a lot of questions and were very curious about what his life had been like on death row. He was very sweet about it and graciously answered our questions for a few hours. One of the questions I asked him was, "What are all those scars on your arms?" He said, "I would be so depressed that I would sit and cut myself." We asked him what his cell was like. Was the food edible, etc.? But after many questions, he looked at all of us and said, "I'd rather not talk about it anymore. Let's talk about something else." And we honored his wishes. He would sit outside on the patio at Annette's house and sing and play his guitar. Sometimes we could hear him from inside, and it was all I could do to hold back the tears listening to him and thinking about what he had been through. He would go to the refrigerator and just stand there with the door open looking at what he might want to eat. He was amazed at all the food in the house and especially knowing he could eat any and all he wanted. He stood at the kitchen window in awe and commented about all the nice cars we were driving, some he had never heard of. He commented one day while riding in the car how different it was to see people walking and running and going about their busy everyday lives. Ron was excited about returning to church. Annette had not told him about the incident with the pastor, nor would she ever. Mark Barrett and Sarah Bonnell were invited. Ron wanted them there with him. The entire Williamson entourage arrived for the Sunday worship hour in a rush and stormed down to the very front row. Annette was behind the organ, as always, and when she began the first rather rowdy hymn, Ron jumped to his feet, clapping and singing and smiling, truly filled with the Spirit. During the announcements, the pastor made no mention of Ron's return, but during the morning prayer, he did manage to say that God loved everyone, even Ronnie. Annette and Renee boiled with anger. A Pentecostal worship service is not for the timid, and as the music cranked up and the choir began rocking and the congregation got loud, A handful of church members made their way over to Ron for a hello, a hug, a welcome back. Damned few. The rest of the good Christian folks glared at the murderer in their midst. Annette left the church that Sunday, never to return.